May the grace and peace of God rest upon each heart again tonight. Count it a privilege that we can gather once more to worship God. Appreciate the thoughts that have been shared and the challenges upon us, each one to strive earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Tonight I invite you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We have the epistle here to Timothy. Paul speaking to Timothy as a young minister. But tonight we like to make an application. I believe we can do this without doing violence to the scripture. Make an application to our lives today. I promised the youth a message tonight, so let's see what we can learn here tonight from this portion. First Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. I trust tonight that this message can be a blessing not only to the youth, but I trust all that are young in heart, and to the younger ones as well. You know, as we think of youth tonight, youth is an exciting time of life, isn't it? And I'd like for this message to be upbeat for you. You know, you're leaving childhood and you're growing up and growing into adulthood, we could say. Your horizons are broadening. The future is bright and beckoning. I trust it is that for you. At the same time, maybe sometimes a little bit scary, isn't it? As you grow up and as you face life and as things change. And there are many challenges in life. I'm sure you face many challenges. You face many decisions tonight. What am I going to do with my life? What's my occupation going to be? What's the future going to hold for me? There's a myriad of choices you can make. And you're blessed tonight, youth, dear youth, you're blessed tonight, that there's direction here for your life. Tonight we're going to be preaching from the Word of God. And I trust that this message will come across to you that there are answers to life's problems. And this is the message for you. And this message here is never outdated. It is for you tonight as you look at life, as you look at the future. I've been talking to the children a little bit at the start of the services every night, and maybe my talks to you have been maybe for, I don't know, maybe children the ages of perhaps 4 to 10 years old. Truth even for us older children. But tonight, maybe just a few words here to some of you that are kind of in between bracket, those perhaps ages 10 to 14. There's probably a few of those here tonight. You're not quite in the age yet that's recognized as youth. You're important too. We're glad for every age bracket that's here. I want to tell you a little story tonight as it relates to the past. I guess you know I've been telling you a few stories from Costa Rica. Here's one more. I went to Costa Rica back, I don't know, it was probably 10 years or so ago. And I visited this one place there, and I saw a house there. This house had some problems. This house had a block wall up part ways around the bottom. And I saw that this block wall was cracking, had cracks in it different places. And I saw something you don't have much problem with here, but we've got a lot of it in the south. And that is, I saw termite trails coming up those walls. Those termites are little bitty creatures that can get in and they eat the wood, and they can make havoc of a house. In fact, they'll eat the inside of a 2x4, and the 2x4 will look fine, but it's all eaten up, and you can just scrunch it with your hand. So I saw this house, and it had problems. and it was still standing. Anyhow, I kind of took note of it, and then a few years later went back, and here they had torn most of the house down. There's a little bit of it left that they use as a garage, but most of the house had been torn down. The reason they tore it down, I believe it was partly probably because of the foundation, but maybe largely because of the termites getting in and eating that whole thing up. House is no good anymore, so they tore it down. The people that built the new house were living in a new house. I believe I could say that the foundation wasn't good enough, wasn't reinforced enough, and the other people didn't keep up. The people there didn't keep up with the termites. Now, the reason this house interested me so much is because I had built that house about in 1989, 1990, I had built that house. It was a brand new house, and I thought it was a good house. Well, as it showed later on, I didn't put enough work in the foundation, not enough rebar. And I guess I tried to keep after termites while we were there, but probably the folks that are there after me didn't, and this house got eaten up. Now, I'd like to make an application to you here tonight that are between the age of 11 and 15. This is also an important time in life. It's a time that of changes. Your body has changes. You notice the boys probably notice their voice changes, and there's some other things changing too. Perhaps your opinions, and you know, it used to be you were a little fellow or a little girl, and it seemed like dad and mom knew everything. And sometimes when boys are between the age of 11 and 15, they aren't quite sure about that anymore. They start thinking maybe dad has some ideas that aren't so great after all. And maybe mama doesn't know everything after all. And you start wondering about some things. You have some questions. And the Bible has direction for you. That's what I want to give you tonight. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 6. I had read verse 1, I believe it was last night, to the children, and I believe it applies to older ones too. In fact, these verses, some of these verses, we never get too old, or we never get beyond the place where they apply to us. It tells us here in Ephesians chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Your parents are helping you. Like we noticed already, they help you when you're younger, and they're not going to quit once you reach 10 years of age. They want to keep on helping you and laying a good foundation for your life. They want to teach you about God. They want to teach you how to respond to God and how to respond to life and how to respond to things you face. And you go to school sometimes between the ages of 10 and 14. It's maybe you run into some things at school you're not sure about. And you come home, you talk to your parents about it, and they try to help you through these situations. What they're doing is they're trying to lay a foundation for your life, so that when you get older, you realize that God has the answers for your life. And God has answers for you even when you're 10, 11, 12 years old. And that is part of laying a good foundation for your life. They're trying to do that for you. And here it tells us that you should honor your father and your mother. And I could ask the question tonight, what does it mean to honor father and mother? I'm not sure I can fully explain it, but honor has something to do that goes on in here, in your heart. And the way you look at dad and mom, and the way you esteem dad and mom, and the way you talk about dad and mom. You should bless your dad and mom. You should honor them. You should esteem them. You should think well of them. You should not think evil thoughts of daddy and mama. You should think good thoughts of them. Your parents are trying, I'm sure they're striving to teach you obedience and respect. And those are some good foundations for your life. Good foundations for your life. There's a lot of children today that they do not have a good foundation, and when they're between the ages of 10 and 12, perhaps daddy and mama don't teach them. And their foundation for their life is somewhat cracked. And they build on that, and they have problems in life. And that's what your daddy and mama are trying to help you with, to help you not have problems later on in life, but laying a foundation that can be of use to you. And I want to encourage you tonight, as you go through these years from 10 to 15, and older youth, you too. But anyhow, 10 to 15, I'm talking to you. Take your questions and take your problems to your parents. You know, sometimes it just seems like, well, maybe daddy and mama are busy. But I think, and they are busy, but I don't think your daddy and mama are too busy for your questions. And I wish I'd have done more of that. You know, sometimes we look back in life and we wish we'd have done some things different. My daddy was a busy man, but I know that he would have took the time for me if I'd have just asked him. Sometimes I got frustrated, and I just got kind of frustrated about things in life, and I didn't take it to dad, and I should have done that. And so, young boys growing into men, if you have frustrations and questions, take it to your dad and mom. Trust them. Take your questions. Take your doubts to them. And honor them. Notice what it says in verse 3. It says, it's a commandment with promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long in the earth. I believe it's simply saying that there's a blessing. Honor and respect will bring God's blessings on your life. And it prepares you to hear God's call. And as you get older and God calls you, respond to the call of God. That's my encouragement to you tonight, young boys and girls. God bless you for being here and for your attention while I preach. And now youth, all of the above apply to you too. Like I said, that house that I took an interest in was eaten of termites. I believe I can safely say it was eaten of termites because of neglect. It was a new house in 1991. By 2011, 20 years later, it was all but gone. Also had some foundation problems. That was my fault. So tonight, as we think of your life, youth, we're looking at this thought here, this thought of a foundation for your life. And your parents and your ministry, and I'm trying to help them in that tonight, is to help lay a good foundation for your life. Teach you some foundational principles that can help you as a youth. But let me tell you that neglect on your part will bring the house down. And so for tonight, we're going to take Paul's words to heart where he says, neglect not. And if you're taking notes and you want to put a title to this message, this is what you can use. We hear a lot of messages in life, and sometimes it's kind of a challenge to us as preachers to know, because we've heard so much through life, and it's like, well, how do you get something to stick? I thought, well, this might be something that would help us. Neglect not. Can we say that together? Neglect not. That's our message tonight. We have in verse 12... Verse 12, we have a list of how the Christian life should affect your whole being and the way you should live. But I'd like to take some time tonight and focus on verses 13 through 16. At first glance, they might appear like some instruction to a preacher, and they are good instruction for a preacher. But I believe tonight we can, without doing violence to the Scripture, take some principles from this. And like we've said already in this week of meetings, that we are a people that have been taught. We are a people that should know. We are a people that have, as it were, head knowledge. But it seems like our problem sometimes is from getting it from the head to the heart. And I believe once it's in the heart, it's going to translate into our hands and our feet and our tongue and our eyes. So I think in verse 13 has the thought to me of get it into your head. Verse 15 has a thought to me of let it sink into your heart. Then the latter part of 15 and 16 simply stated, live it out. And couched in these verses is our text. Let's say it again. Neglect not. In other words, make it a priority. Don't forget. Don't get sidetracked. To neglect. To neglect is to lose out. It's to depart from the faith. It's to apostatize. And ultimately, it is to lose your soul. So tonight, it is important that we take note. The first point here, like I mentioned in verse 13, of getting it into our head. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. It is possible to sit under the preaching of God's word, and Jesus brought this out in his parable. It is possible to sit under the word, and then cometh the enemy and snatches it away, or taketh it away. So it's possible to be sitting here and hear the word of God, and it's just rolling off of our back, as it were. This verse tells us we should neglect not, or in other words, give attendance to reading. And to me, that's got a simple application. I'm not going to do it. But if I'd ask you, how many of you had your personal devotions this morning? I wonder how many of you would have raised your hands. Neglect not the reading of the Scripture. Neglect not your personal devotions, your Bible reading. Neglect not to go to church and to hear the Word of God expounded. Neglect not to read good books. Oftentimes we read other stuff at the expense of the Bible, at the expense of good books. One thing that's been a blessing to me, and I'll tell you this, and I'm not saying I've always done it, but I was working on a committee one time with another bishop, and he made this comment that when he gets up in the morning, he makes it a practice of not picking up any other book before his Bible. You know that? I was like, and I'm not saying I've always been faithful in that, but that thing has went through my mind many a time. You're getting up, and wherever you have your devotional, you see this flyer that come in the mail or whatever it is, and then I'm like, oh, no, better not. Get sidetracked. Neglect not. Neglect not. We stress that pretty hard in our church. I don't know how you do it here, but and then council meeting rolls around, and it's like, you know, a lot of times, we're really honest, and we say that I've been slacking off on that. And, you know, it's a direct attack from Satan. He knows if he can keep us out of the word, he's got step one on his way to getting our soul. Neglect not to read. To exhortation, to doctrine. Exhortation has a thought of others encouraging us and maybe correcting us. The calling and urging of parents, of your leaders, of your teachers. Are we open to that? Are you open to that, youth? Are you giving attendance? To get this thing into your head, as it were, to exhortation and to doctrine. Doctrine sounds like a stuffy word, but it's not. It's the teaching of the Word of God. And it is something that brings life to your soul. And you should take an interest in it. Try to know and try to be informed of the principles of the Word of God. You know, sometimes you struggle with this thing of not understanding things, not understanding some of their struggles, not understanding why we apply some principles the way we do. And oftentimes the temptation is to just kind of frustration, why do we have to do that? Or what's the reason behind that? Instead of applying yourself and digging in and trying to discover. You let that be a challenge. You know, we men especially, we like challenges in life. Well, take that as a challenge. Try to discover why. You know, why do you react the way you do? What are your needs? And why? Why do we do the things we do? Go on a discovery journey. Try to understand. Neglect not. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Try to understand. Try to see the truth of the matter. And you can ask your parents and grandparents. Let me tell you. I had a grandpa that I've heard testimonies from others that he was a man of faith. And I'm going to tell you one of my regrets. You know, about the first 14 years of my life, we were in the same community. So I kind of grew up knowing that Grandpa was there. He was an older man. And he liked to talk a lot, like some of us garbage do. But he'd sit back there in his easy chair, and we'd go over there and visit him, my dads and my uncles and aunts. We'd be there, and of course, we cousins would be playing. But he'd be there telling stories and talking. And the years rolled on. He was always, quote, that man, that fixture there that did that. And I never took a whole lot of interest in what he was saying. And I regret it to this day. He passed away just a little before I got married. And my aunt's testimony is, she was my youngest aunt, that it was such a blessing to be the youngest one at home. She had questions in life. She would go to Grandpa, and he had a lot of good answers for her. And I would dare say, there's a lot of young people sitting here today that have got some pretty wise grandpas. They might not know how to run a keyboard, but they know some more important things in life. And I just want to encourage you, neglect not to go and talk with Grandpa on the important issues in life. And to Dad, for that matter. Dad can have a lot of help for you, as well as your mother. Youth, if you have godly grandparents, give attendance. Neglect not to hear them. In fact, they probably have some insights into this word doctrine and into doctrines that will be very delightful and enlightening if your heart is open. Till I come, give attendance. Be alert, be eager, be ready. Like that pup at home. What's your dog's name at home there? Suki. He is just so eager. He just about can't wait to jump on you and welcome you home. And that's how we ought to be to get into the Word of God. Not like my old basset hound. I didn't pay, but I got an old basset hound to worry. And he's just laid back, just not very interested in life. Too many times, we're like Ori instead of Suki. This is talking about giving attention, taking an interest in. All right, 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. This is a thought of getting it from the head to the heart. Not only a knowledge, not only a knowing, but somehow letting the truth of the gospel sink into my heart. Ruminate on it. Giving myself wholly to it. Get to the heart of the matter. And this comes only by meditation and by taking time. Could it be, youth, that today some of the problems you face are because of living too fast-paced life and not taking enough time to just sit and ruminate and meditate and pray? Oh, we think that five-minute blip's going to get it. And then you wonder why you have problems. You need more than that. You need to have time. You need to quiet your heart before God so that you can hear God speak. That's how conviction grows in the heart. You need conviction in your life if you're going to make it. If you're going to make it, you have to meditate and ruminate. And like Daniel, Daniel purposed in his heart. Like I said, men like a challenge, and men need a cause. I think God made us that way. Dear young men, you've got a cause tonight. You've got the greatest cause there is. You're part of the kingdom of heaven, the greatest kingdom on earth, the greatest cause there is, the most exciting cause there is. There's nothing that can compare to it. You know, there's some things like volleyball and Cabela's and deer hunting might be interesting sidelines, but that is not the cause. The purpose, the focus, the reason for life. It's going to take this meditating because you must know the why behind the things we do before there can be a doing from the heart. Somehow, by God's grace, your parents are willing to help you figure out the why, but it's going to take some effort on your part. And youth have energy, and youth can put energy into volleyball and deer hunting and those things I mentioned. But how about this matter? I put the challenge to you, young men, young women. Neglect not to meditate, to ruminate, to quiet your heart before God so He can speak. So that, I'm quoting scripture here, His sayings can sink down deep into your heart. 15b, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now this is the outworking. Once it's sunk into your heart, and there is an outworking. The profiting, the visual, the verbal. Take heed to yourself, the apostle tells Timothy. And many times youth have a little problem. They're taking heed to other people and to other people's problems and other people's needs. And we need a concern for them, but we need to be concerned about our own life first of all. How does the Bible say, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled? Look at your own life first of all. It's going to take a knowing, a getting it into your heart in order to be consistent. You know, many of us can manage a short spurt, but consistency in living the Word of God takes a knowing and having it in our heart. Because, you know, life is such. Life throws us a lot of curveballs, like we say. We face challenges. We face battles. But that which is in this book, we know it must find expression in the older people's lives, but it must in your lives too as a youth. It must find expression in a practical way. After all, the expression of our life, the issue of our life, is the proof whether there is really life within. So neglect not to take heed to yourself and into the doctrine and to continue in them. All right, I wanted to get to the points up here. It speaks to us up here. Neglect not. It tells us in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And then it has different areas in life that you're called to be an example. I'd like for the youth to look up song number 451 in the Zion's Praise. Let's say all the youth from 15 and up. Look this hymn up. 451. Youth from 15 years and up, would you stand? Girls too. Arlen, can you lead this song? I'd like to sing the first verse of 451. Have the youth sing it.
Oh,
Thank you. You may be seated. Beautifully done. Neglect not to be an example, youth, of the believers in word. Bible says sound speech that cannot be condemned. And this is a challenge to youth who believe. You know, the day and age we live in, there's so many, I don't know how to call it, fads that come along in the way you talk. Seems like sometimes the way the Bible tells us to talk is going out of style. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. May your words, may you in your heart propose purpose that your words would be kind and considerate, and that you would refuse to mock and to belittle, and angry words, so let them never from the tongue and bridle slip. You know, that's not talking about just here at church, or you don't want the preachers to hear it. That's talking about at home, young sisters, when you're relating to your brothers and sisters. It's talking about at home, young men, when you're relating to dad. Angry words, let them never. Refuse to slander. Refuse to be a talebearer. It's for all of us, but sometimes sisters have a little extra problem with this. Young ladies, propose in your heart to never bow to slander and to be a talebearer. Like I said before, we need to be open. And youth, here's one for you. Be open in your confirmed habits. It's not necessarily okay to say it just because you've always used this expression. It does not necessarily make it right. We need to let the Word of God search us, and we need to be open when others rebuke us on that, those cool words we like to use. Let your speech be seasoned with grace, a testimony of Christ within. Sound speech is never out of date. Neglect not this important area, because according to the Word of God, by your speech you will be justified, and by your speech you will be condemned. So it is important. Second point here is be an example of the believers in conversation. Now in our present day language, we would probably say in your way of life. Spanish says conducta, your conduct. Neglect not to be an example in conversation, in your way of life. And this includes the whole of life. Your conduct should be above blame, above reproach. You should be a man and a woman of integrity. And that includes, I don't have it in my pocket, but this thing that rides in our pocket. And this screen that brightens up. Men and women of integrity. To where you wouldn't mind if the brother here would be looking over your shoulder at everything you do. How about it for the past week, the 2 weeks? Would it be okay? If not, why not? Is there some repentance needed? Fruit of the Spirit in evidence. Fruit of the Spirit just spilling out. You know, sometimes we think life is dull, and sometimes we feel we don't have enough challenges. Well, take the challenge of being so filled with God and just by His grace have that fruit of the Spirit just spilling out of your life. Your life just radiates love and joy and peace. And you'll go on down the line. Be an example in conversation, in your way of life. It affects your life's choices, the choices of your identity. I had a shallow conversion experience when I was about 11 years old and kind of fell away from it. At the age of 16, I renewed that. Dear young people, when I renewed my commitment with God, my testimony is that I wanted to be with the people of God. I wanted to identify with the people of God. I wanted to talk like the people of God. And I even wanted to dress like the people of God. And that's still my desire 40 years later. And I think that should be the desire of your life. If you're dedicated to God, and you should, if you get dedicated to the God of the people, you should be dedicated to the people of God as well, and seek to identify with them. And as the church speaks to the issues of the day, that you can appreciate, and that you try to understand, and by God's grace apply it, and bow your heart. Neglect not to be an example in your conversation, in your way of life. Live above reproach. For the next one, I'd like for you to look up song number 450. I'm going to get your help here tonight, youth. Give you a few exercises. Song 450. Same ones. Would you stand again? Arlen, would you do me the favor again? First verse. Seated. Beautiful. It's better than preaching. Maybe I'll just shut the preaching down. Wonderful. Love. I'll just say a few words on it. We got to get done here. Neglect not to be an example in charity. And that's love in action. That's love to the undeserving. Think on Jesus Christ and his love to us, undeserving as we were, and yet he showered it upon us. And a lot of times this sounds like something lofty, but it comes down to the nitty-gritty of doing it at home once more. Hey, that's your training ground at home. To your little brother and sister, you know, that maybe get a little aggravating at times. That's your training ground. Love in action. Love to the undeserving. Yeah, they don't deserve it. But love in action. A good Samaritan. It includes love to the brethren, even if the brethren and sisters seem undeserving. Love. Love. Live a life of love. Neglect not. Neglect not charity. The next one here says in spirit. I'm going to spend just a little bit more time here. Be an example of the believers in your spirit. I'd like for the youth to answer this question. One of the youth: what was the testimony of Daniel? Something related to spirit. Looks like I'm going to have to ask the older youth. Anyone?
Excellent spirit was found in him.
I'm going to let you, the youth, find that in your Bibles when later on you get home, but according to this scripture, it's your responsibility to not neglect to be an example in your spirit. And this can be a challenge because life hands us many things. Life is not always fair. In life, sometimes we are misunderstood. Sometimes we're frustrated. Sometimes we're snubbed. Sometimes we're nettled. And sometimes we are wronged. And if you had learned your lesson well, if you have spent that time with God, if you have quieted your heart before God and you're in tune with God, God, you've got a grace there that you can handle these problems. You appropriate the power of God and you refuse to be angry. You refuse to hold a grudge. You refuse to become a bitter person because you've got God's grace in your life. And you also choose to release those that have wronged you. There's many youth today that are in bondage because they cannot release that person that has wronged them. I guess we preachers sometimes have to give our story just a little bit on that. I remember, to my shame, I was the oldest boy at home, and like boys are sometimes, they buck dad. Y'all know what I mean by that? You buck him. What's a better word? You kind of resist him. You know, dad's got his ways of doing things. He wants things done, and you think you have a better way, and you just kind of this bucking thing. I did that too long. But you know, it hit me one time when I was turned 19. Somehow God's Spirit worked my life. It's like, I mean, it wasn't that it was, you know, the reason I probably didn't wake up to it, I thought it wasn't that bad. You know how we are. We justify what we're doing and it's dead, you know. But I woke up when I was 19. I finally saw it was bad. And I repented. And I determined by the grace of God that things are going to change. I think I thought of it in this way. Here I am living at home. I'm already 19. We got our age at 21. I'll be 21. What's going to be my memories of home if I keep up living my life like this? And I was Christian. And I finally repented and I changed. God gave me the grace to change. And I can look back today, my last 2 years at home, no regrets on that point. Youth, I believe I want to leave that as a challenge. You know, we might still be at home, but it won't be long. You'll be gone from home. Live your life in such a way that you can look back with no regrets. Along with this, as you think of the spirit that's in your heart, comes the call to submit to authority. To submit to your parents, and to submit to the church and to your ministry. And I want to encourage you tonight to learn to do that from the heart. You know, if you're always agreed with everything, you never have to submit. Submission comes in when maybe we don't quite agree or we don't quite see it, but we still do it because it's God's call in our life. It's a lesson God wants us to learn. Learn to submit from your heart. And also, youth, learn to not be one of these underminers, these fellows that tunnel underground and undermine. There can be a lot of subtle undermining influence go on the church, and so there's people like that, and somehow I believe they learn it sometimes in their youth. They just sow a few seeds here and a few seeds there, and just kind of raise a question on a position of the church, or raise a question about this person, this brother, or that sister. One that likes to kind of move and shake a little and stir up controversy. Neglect not to be an example in spirit. Somehow I cannot imagine Daniel being that way. It says that he had an excellent spirit. I want to encourage you tonight, I want to challenge you tonight as a youth to have an excellent spirit. All right, youth, one more. Would you sing for me one more time for us? 519. All right, let's make this a whole congregation sing. Everybody stand, and Arlen, would you lead us in 519, first verse?
Today, what tomorrow may bring, is shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth forever his days, and all of my journey is vain. Living by faith, yes, living by faith, in Jesus above,
in Jesus above.
Trusting.
Yeah.
Thank you. You may be seated. Youth, it tells us here, neglect not to be an example in faith. As we go through life, you need faith. You need a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And youth sometimes struggle with having faith in God. Youth sometimes have the experience of Thomas. You doubt and you fear and you wonder. And yet, Jesus told Thomas, can anybody tell me what he told Thomas? Maybe not exact words, but just in your words. After Thomas saw Jesus.
You believe because you saw, but blessed are they who don't see and yet believe.
Thank you. Blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. You know, that applies to you today, youth. Jesus is not here with us in person, but blessed are we, even though we don't see, and even though we don't always understand, and yet we believe. I want to encourage you to have faith in the scriptures, and something that happens in our life is, and I don't know where I got this diagram, I don't take credit for it, maybe you've seen it before, but there are realities in life that there are facts, and the facts is the eternal word of God. This is truth. This is fact. This is something that will stand forever. This is something that is solid. This is something you can build your life upon. This is the fact. And your faith can rest on these facts. It's solid. It's secure. It needs not move. Now, our feelings are something else. Our feelings are a little bit fickle. It's like one preacher said, sometimes I don't feel very saved either. And that's our feelings. And what happens sometimes is we get this mixed up. We get this thing flipped. We got the feelings on the bottom, and then we've got our faith resting on that. Then the facts on top of that, and everything gets wobbly. But if we follow this, we have a solid foundation. Our faith rests on eternal truth. And even though our feelings are influenced a lot of times by circumstances, by how tired you are, it seems like a lot of times it's easier to have faith at 8 o'clock in the morning than 10 o'clock at night. And just a lot of circumstances that we face in life. But if you can remember this diagram, and especially, I know youth sometimes struggle with faith. Just cling. Base your life on the solid rock. Neglect not to exercise faith. Because according to the scriptures, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you're not called tonight to have a great faith. God will accept a small faith like a grain of mustard seed, and it will grow. Living by faith, learn to trust God and to live by faith, and God will bless you. All right, last point. Be an example in purity. Neglect not to be an example in purity. This is an imperative for all of us, especially for youth. Satan knows that if he can get you in this area, that you will struggle for life if you don't surrender. Keep thyself pure is an imperative, I believe, that we must embrace with our whole being. The world is no friend to grace, no friend to purity. And somehow it must be ingrained upon our heart and mind by the authority of the truth, of the facts. And if you go by feelings, this would sound shaky. But if you go by facts, if you go by truth, by what the Word of God says about purity, we will understand that impurity will contaminate our soul. The problem a lot of times is the reason we dabble in sin is because we're not convinced of really how sinful it is. Because sin can be alluring. And therefore we kind of think we can get by dabbling in it a little bit. But we must understand, the Bible doesn't come out and say it in these exact words, but I believe there's Bible principle behind this. Impurity will contaminate your soul. And that's a truth that will always stand. It will never vary. I'm going to refer you again to the story of the well. Most of you are probably here, but some of you might not have been. In Costa Rica, we had this well, hand-dug well. It was our only source of water, good water. We appreciate the water, and we drink this water. But there comes a day when you're drinking, something's a little strange. And Next day, you notice it a little stronger, and you go check the well. You find out there's a dead rat or a dead frog floating around down in there. The well's been contaminated. And I didn't tell you another one that happened sometimes. And that was that we had these gasoline water pumps sitting on top of these wells, and every once in a while you have to put gas in. And guess what? If you weren't careful, get a few drops down in the well, it didn't take much, and you would taste it. And we used to have this trick. We had we had a lot of sour tangerines there, and we drank a lot of sour tangerine juice. So that was always the trick to try to disguise this gas in the well. You'd go to one of the brethren's places for lunch, and they'd have this juice. And I know what happened. You got a little gas in the well because you'd still kind of taste it. But at least you could drink it. I mean, if you didn't disguise, I mean, you couldn't hardly stomach the stuff because it was just a few drops down that well. That gasoline, it was just a little bit, but it contaminated the whole thing. Can you get the connection? Impurity will do the same thing for your soul. You might think it's just a little bit, but it will contaminate your whole life. It will surely do it. And then we oftentimes try to cover it up. We try to cover it up, and somehow we think that that's going to get us by. You can't do wrong and get by. Beloved, tonight, the scriptures tell us clearly here, be an example in purity. If you've been dabbling in sin, if your life is impure, there's only one way to get it pure, and that is repentance. That is seeing it as God sees it, not as, you know, like we tend to look at it as just a small thing or something not that bad. But we need to see it as sin, something that's contaminated our soul, something that's filthy. We need to repent. We need to turn from it. We need to find forgiveness. We need to confess our sins and turn to the living Savior for forgiveness and for cleansing and for power. And tonight, as we look at purity, that relates not only to you as a person that is looking forward to marriage, it also includes those of you that are courting and those of you that are anticipating courting. Keep thyself pure applies to those in courtship. It applies to those that are engaged to be married. You're not married yet. Keep thyself pure. Hands off. May you be able to come to the marriage altar with no regrets. And that's such a blessing. My sister told me recently of a wedding she attended where I guess the purity of the couple or the integrity of the couple was somewhat in question. And she said it showed. She said most weddings you go to, there's just this excitement because they got married and you can tell the couple is just bubbling. She said it was missing. It was kind of ho-hum. I believe that's what impurity will do. That's what it will do. Come to the marriage altar with no regrets. In the area of purity, be an example. Neglect not this area, lest you be led astray by your own lusts. Verse 16, in closing, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In so doing, it will be to the saving of your soul. But if you neglect, it says neglect not. If you neglect, can we safely say that it will be to the losing of your soul? I believe it will if you neglect, youth. I'm going to conclude with one more story. There was this widow lady that had lost her husband, and she was seeking the face of God and how to bring up her children. And she hardly knew how or what. And her oldest son was starting to go with the youth. And he got into some company that wasn't so good. The way she found it out was when they were doing the laundry, they discovered some matches in his trousers. And she went to her son and questioned him out, what's going on. And she found out that that he's starting to run with the wrong crowd. Matches are for what? Cigarettes. And pretty wise mother. She sent her son to go bring a hatchet and a piece of string. Anyhow, they had this tree. They had this tree that they had planted. And this tree was pretty special because her husband planted it before he died. Anyhow, they had this tree that was planted here, and it was growing. This woman went and told her son to pound this stake in the ground. And then she took this tree and tied a rope to it. And the tree was leaning to one side. And he was like, "Mom, what are you doing?" She said, "Son, you're headed down the wrong way." She said, "This rope represents Satan's got a hold of your life, and he's bending you the wrong way. And it's going to disfigure your life. This rope here represents the slavery you're getting yourself into." She said, "Son, this is going to stay like this until you make the choice to repent, until you make the choice, my words, to turn around and serve God." This woman earnestly prayed for her son. It wasn't but about 2 days later she saw the rope was cut. Dear youth, I ask you tonight, what's the rope? What's your rope? What's holding your life? Are you in slavery? Are you in bondage tonight, or are you free?